Thank you, Heather. So I just want to reiterate a couple of points that Heather made and also wake you up to the extent that you're sort of falling asleep right now and thinking to yourself, you know, I'm not really in the national security space. I'm not working for a defense contractor. This is not my area. You should be clear when Heather said that this is not a defined term. It's it can be very broad and it can come up in unexpected ways. So you will see CFIUS identify potential concerns about access to information, about access to technology, about different ideas in sectors that you wouldn't have originally thought are really core to national security. And another thing to think about is, you know, if you're thinking, well, I'm already foreign owned, if that doesn't matter, a U.S. business can already be foreign owned. And if you're thinking, well, you know, I'm looking at U.S. persons to invest, remember that any U.S. business that is controlled by a foreign business is considered foreign for purposes of CFIUS. So it casts a much broader net than you might originally think. So now switching to the slide that is up, we wanted to talk about a summary summarize for you the new regulations that were implemented in February of this year. So as Heather mentioned, the Foreign Investment Risk Review Modernization Act, or FIRMA, was passed in 2018. That was the CFIUS reform law. And over the course of about a year and a half, the government worked to draft and implement new regulations that really expand the jurisdiction of CFIUS. So there are some real key, I think, changes in those regulations that are important to know. One matter is that now, instead of every filing with CFIUS being a notice that has a specific time period, there's also a separate filing process called a declaration, which allows for shorter timelines. The statutory timeline for a notice would be a 45-day review period followed by up to a 45-day investigation. But the short-form declarations, they're a little bit easier to put together. They don't require the same amount of information that a full joint voluntary notice to CFIUS does, and they are allotted a 30-day assessment period for CFIUS to review it. So if you look at that, it starts to line up with the Hart-Scott-Rodino antitrust review process at that point. And so that is a very interesting development. The declarations first actually became available in November of 2018, but were limited to mandatory declarations that were filed under the CFIUS pilot program that focused on transactions involving critical technologies. But when the new regulations were passed or implemented, went into effect in February of this year, that declaration process was broadened so that anyone can submit any voluntary declaration, any voluntary filing via that declaration process. Now, turning to the expansion of the jurisdiction of CFIUS, there are, you know, sort of two key areas. It's as Heather mentioned, CFIUS's jurisdiction was really limited to control transactions before. It would be, you know, any investment that would involve the possibility of control by a foreign person would be subject to CFIUS. So CFIUS has broadened its jurisdiction to non-controlling transactions. And really, these could be, you know, any amount of equity or even contingent equity investment, so long as there are certain plus factors. And that is to say that these would be non-controlling, but not they wouldn't be passive investments. You know, a passive investment of under 10% is still not subject to CFIUS, but a very small investment that is in these key high-risk areas in critical technology, critical infrastructure, or sensitive personal data, those are the categories that they focus on for these non-controlling investments. And the plus factors that are required to trigger this would be any sort of board right. That could even be a board observer, which people don't necessarily typically think of as being, you know, control here, but this is, it's enough to trigger this non-controlling factor, or having access to non-public technical information about the business relating to the critical technologies or the critical infrastructure, or having substantive input into the business of the company related to these areas that you wouldn't have strictly through your voting percentage in the company. So that's where that area expands. And really what you want to take away from this is think to yourself, well, you know, the areas of critical technologies, critical infrastructure, and sensitive personal data are very important for these national security reviews. And you want to think about if you have that in your business, this could be a consideration. And the separate area is real estate transactions. So again, what we said about the underlying jurisdiction for CFIUS, it would be an investment in a U.S. business. Now, you know, when you're talking about national security, even that can be sort of broadened. A U.S. business could be, you know, a few assets and a name, you know, and maybe, you know, some contracts, but it doesn't look like a full business. But you did have to have a U.S. business, so a pure real estate transaction would not have qualified previously. And this sort of left a gap. I mean, we saw a lot of transactions historically, for example, you know, Chinese investments in mining operations in Nevada around sensitive military installations that were repeatedly blocked in the CFIUS process. And when you looked at those transactions, you thought, well, you couldn't buy the mine, but you could buy the land next door to the mine, which maybe presents some similar risks. So I think, you know, Congress and CFIUS have plugged that gap with the expansion into real estate transactions that would involve the sale, lease, or concession of real estate that is near sensitive government facilities or that involve airports or maritime ports. And there are lists in the rules that identify for the first time really, you know, where some of the sensitive facilities are or where, you know, they don't actually identify specifically where every missile silo is, but they do identify county by county, you know what, this part of the county or this portion of the county is off limits. We're not going to tell you exactly where the issue is, but you really need to consider that there's some national security risk in this area.